on, Sil? Is this on?
And now, coming to you live on NewAgeInsiders.com,
we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
Please welcome Jason Maltoff.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
Get ready.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
Hi, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
I think the best executed Royal Rumble in a long time.
Well, so here's the thing about the world we live in now, right? There are more opportunities than ever to kind of get out there, let people know what you think. Let WWE, in a way, know what you think and what you want and what you feel.
Right.
But what we've experienced over the years, talking to and being privileged enough to talk to thousands of wrestling fans is, you know, it's like anything. You throw something against the wall, people see 10 different things. Wrestling can be almost this great ink blot test, you know what I mean? What do you see? What do I see? What do I want? What do you envision?
Right.
How is this supposed to look? How is this supposed to go out? And it's tough because, you know, there are a lot of people that really liked John Cena for those 10 years, and there were a lot of people that really didn't. And so if you would go and say, Vince, you don't understand, everybody hates John Cena. Well, pal, I've got all sorts of merchandise numbers that would beg to differ. Ratings, pay-per-view buys,
yep.
Anything that this guy
buys,
things that this guy headlines do well. So you may not enjoy John Cena, but you can't throw that blanket over it and say, well, Vince,
everybody
hates John Cena. Just like, you know, the most controversial man in wrestling today. You cannot like Roman Reigns. If you don't like Roman Reigns, it's fine.
Right.
If you don't like Roman Reigns, he's not for you. You don't like it. You don't understand why he runs out of forearm bullets and has to cock his hand. Then you're not, he's not for you. That's fine.
Ooh-ah.
But here's the thing.
Sounds like Scent of a Woman, Al Pacino.
Ooh-ah. But here's the thing about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns also has pretty impressive...
Also, first of all, either we need to do it or somebody else needs to do it. Every single time he goes, ooh-ah, we got to replace it with...
Nation?
No. So like when he gets in the corner and goes, ooh-ah, instead we have to replace it with Al Pacino's ooh-ah.
Do an ooh-ah? Fine.
Like, you remember how everybody replaced the lightsaber with...
Or we could just continue with Savage Garden and just say, ooh-ah, don't you, I don't know if I
you know what,
you now.
Bill? We're going to talk about this on the drive home tomorrow.
Okay.
Because there's something here.
Perfect.
We get a lot to talk about, including Savage Garden's impact on the pro wrestling business.
Love it.
But like I said, you know, Roman Reigns also has impressive merchandise numbers and sales rates and buy rates and pay-per-views he's headlined and things that they've done. Maybe not even, we'll talk about this when the time is right and we're reflecting on all of it, but I mean, I think that John Cena's ticket sales are actually more impressive than Roman Reigns as we sit today, so it's kind of, but the biggest point is, like, you don't have to like Roman Reigns. But it's tough to be like, everybody hates Roman Reigns. No, he doesn't. This company does not make decisions solely out of spite. They make some decisions out of spite, I suppose, but not grand master plans for the next decade of their company, simply out of spite. If you weren't buying...
They want you to enjoy this product.
Like, I think they do half the time. Somebody's buying these t-shirts, and that's why we're doing this. But the reason I bring that up is because in the Royal Rumble, right, it's tough. Because there are people that are happy when Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble. And when Randy Orton wins the Royal Rumble, there are people, were happy when Triple H won the Royal Rumble.
I was so happy when Triple H won.
You know what I mean? In his late 40s. And so you can't just say, man, WWE just completely misses the mark every time. They don't get their audience, and it's foolish. It's short-sighted. Tonight, though, the good thing is, from the other side of the fence, I feel like the vocal majority, minority, however they actually fall into the fan base, a lot of people can get behind Shinsuke Nakamura easily.
Right.
This is the easiest swallow of a pill.
So while WWE wants to sit there and actually have you like Nakamura, and they want to push Nakamura, and they want Nakamura to be a big deal, right? They invested in this guy wholeheartedly from Japan to bring him over here. He was a big star over there. They believe in him, and they want him to do well. This is the first time since before WrestleMania 29 that it feels like we didn't have an inkling of who the person was, and it was vehemently rejected. Because you go back to WrestleMania 29, John Cena was going to win the Royal Rumble to face The Rock. We were going to get Batista to face Randy Orton. We were going to get Roman Reigns to face Brock Lesnar. We were going to get Triple H to win the title so that Roman Reigns doesn't win back-to-back Rumbles. We were going to get Randy Orton. And so now that's five straight WrestleManias that we're looking at that were just... this is who the guy is, and
Orton was the biggest curveball out of the ones you listed.
Right.
But again, like, I think what this is, it's just, and we'll talk about it in more details. We'll introduce ourselves and talk to the people that have tuned in. Thank you so much for joining. If it's your first time listening, but I think the biggest thing tonight before we do that is sometimes, although the people are more divided than it may seem, sometimes you just got to scratch those itches. And right now, there's a majority of the fans that tonight were just so tired of the Cena's, Orton's, Reigns's winning this thing,
right,
that Shinsuke Nakamura scratched an itch that a good amount of your fan base has and needed to see and needed to feel good about. And gotta say it, when Chris Jericho goes over to Wrestle Kingdom and starts to make everybody talk about Wrestle Kingdom, now an easily accessible North American platform, well, now you're talking about something where, hey, again, I never use the word competition. No one's ever taken out Vince. He's Coke. You can make whatever soda you want. I'm Coca-Cola. But this might have lit the fire for them, at least in this WrestleMania season, to go, no, you're not going to talk about New Japan this year. You're going to talk about me. And we're going to talk to you. For the people out there that might have clicked some hashtags, checked us out for the first time, got recommended by a friend in Philadelphia if we ran into you, well, we appreciate it all the same. If you're a veteran, then I hope you know by now that my name is Jason Maltop.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, and please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. We have a website getting revamped and reloaded for the Royal Rumble season and the WrestleMania run. Well, it's Royal Rumble season now. It's over now, Damien. It's over. I'm going to introduce you in a minute.
It's Mania season, finally.
It is. NewAgeInsiders.com. Make sure to subscribe to NAI Wrestling and the New Age Pop Network on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. We're also available on Twitch and YouTube. Why? Because altogether we're the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. And in said network, we have some of the best hosts in the world to talk about pro wrestling with. The no exception, sitting to my left, we are thrilled to see you whenever we get a chance to. We came down to Philly. The reason that we're here, like 90% of it, is not just to go to these things, it's to see you guys. And
it's 100% to go to the things.
Exactly. So Damien Salty G from the Shattered Glass Cast is joining us. That's my favorite. That's like the best name,
yes,
to say.
You know, say it better than I do. That's impressive.
It's Damien Salty G.
Isn't it Salty G?
It's salty, but you know, it can be salty. It's fine.
It's fine. Well, by the
you're
end
wicked
of,
salty, dude.
By the end of this episode, we're going to come to a consensus to whether or not we're going to pronounce your name the right way or not. But thank you so much for joining us, Damien. It is a pleasure to talk to you all. Always. You were in attendance for the Royal Rumble.
Yes, I was.
Just because Chip's out of the room, let's talk shit.
Yeah. Well, Chip's right there. All right.
Oh, shit, he's right there.
Yeah, Chip's right
just
there.
Just to ensure the audience, Chip has not broken anything yet.
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah. Keyword, yet.
It's been kind of weird.
Well, it's funny because I was with G-Rod. We were walking around the streets of Philadelphia, and G-Rod totally, totally pulled the Chip and just tripped and fell in the middle of the street, lost a shoe, and he looks at me, and the first thing he says is, do you think Chip's going to do something worse than that this weekend?
Yeah.
And I said yes, unequivocally. I was like, there's no chance that Chip doesn't do something. And he didn't.
The closest thing so far, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday on NewAgeInsiders.com at 8 o'clock in more detail because tonight's not the night. But the one thing that I can say is our Chip moment, he didn't do, but I have to imagine it's the energy that brought it into our world. It's,
yes,
it's the great Tinklescape.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Of 2018.
Yeah, okay.
And so
Tinklegate?
The Tinklegate, the great Tinkle Caper of 2018.
Yeah.
Dylan and I were talking earlier. It's like, look, Chip didn't do the tinkle thing.
It's the Texas
mystery
tinkle.
Mystery tinkler.
But we wouldn't have tinkled Little Star nearly as much as we did if not for Chip and the energy he brings into the room.
Yeah. That sounds about
right. That's kind of how I equate the whole thing. Damien, what are your kind of first impressions? Let's start with the men because they didn't main event, so let's take this thing in order. What are your first impressions of the 2018 Men's Royal Rumble, of Nakamura winning, of who didn't win, who did win? What'd you think of the Royal Rumble?
Okay, well, I don't know if a lot of people out there know, I watch New Japan. I do follow New Japan. So I had a rooting interest for Shinsuke Nakamura to at least have a good showing. So him and Balor doing what they did, for me, just reestablished NXT as a brand also, because a lot of people have been sleeping on NXT since Survivor Series, when Braun Strowman took out all of the former NXT champions on the SmackDown side. So watching the Rumble unfold, when Shinsuke comes out, I tell a person sitting next to me, I said, okay, if I'm a betting man, because I've known this for months in my heart, Nakamura is winning this. Because it made sense. Because it says we've had it in stone that Brock versus Roman on the Raw side.
Yep.
Okay, so what do you do with the SmackDown side? SmackDown is supposed to be the land of the wrestling show, right? So if you have AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, who are you going to put him up against on the SmackDown roster? You're not going to have Cena. You're not going to have Orton. The money match, for lack of a better term,
yep,
would have been Nakamura. Now, you could have thrown a curveball, have Sami Zayn maybe, or Kevin Owens when they took Ty Dillinger's spot. But the pop that... Nice Power Rangers ringtone,
by
the way.
I appreciate that. I'm on Twitter, too.
Zordon's calling.
I wasn't even texting. I was linking out the show, so I wasn't even doing anything wrong.
I like that. But to see the pop that Nakamura got, especially when he was playing the face in peril to almost all the veterans toward the end. You know, you had the Ortons, yeah, you had Rey Mysterio, you had Cena, then you had Roman Reigns. So it was one of those things where the proverbial odds were stacked against Nakamura. The energy from that place when he won, I don't know if it was more because Roman didn't win.
There was a release of pressure.
And just seeing everybody just full of exultation, for me as a fan, it made me feel really good about the product.
And this is the beauty of the Royal Rumble, because, you know, we sat here going into it, and Nakamura was one of the people that was on the list,
yes,
that could possibly win. You know, Roman Reigns was obviously one of the people that was on the list that could possibly win. And, you know, one of the big things is the yeah, but to Nakamura as to why he won't is he feels like 20 steps away from that title.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the Royal Rumble. The beauty of the Royal Rumble is that a guy that is the caliber of a main eventer that just needs this little plot device to get you there. And we don't need that with Roman Reigns. And so giving him this accolade and having him win this Royal Rumble would have been terrible. One, for him, because, you know, we also have to take a look at what this does for him, for the vocal majority, minority, whatever we want to call it.
Right.
But having him win that Rumble for a story that doesn't need that plot device. We were told what the plot device was at the Raw after WrestleMania last year.
Mm-hmm.
We both beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Let's find out who's better.
It's also, I mean, you can be watching wrestling. If you've been watching wrestling for 10 years, you know how we're going to get to Brock and Roman Reigns. If you've been watching wrestling for 10 minutes, you know how we're going to get to Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. It writes itself. The Undertaker. That's it. We're done. If we need to throw an extra layer on the thing, WrestleMania 31. I never got my shot. I never got my fair shot. You know what I mean? You and I'm like, we got interrupted, pal. We got unfinished business.
Right.
It's super easy to do. And another day, we'll have an entire show about this. Maybe on Patreon, which you can subscribe to on patreon.com/newageinsiders if you like.
Sweet plug.
We got to talk about, you know, the boos and cheers and what this vocal be like, because you and I both know how to quantify it ourselves. Is it the vocal minority? Is it the vocal majority? Here's the weird thing about it that starts catching up with you over time. Although there are many American cities that WWE doesn't travel to, at least on a regular basis, there are many, many international cities that WWE will never go to. The weird thing about this, you know, everything I hear is, the fans that don't like the current product are the vocal minority. The majority of fans actually love this stuff. And what I would say is, although I'm a WWE fan myself, I'm not embarrassed to admit that I like the show I watch every week. I think it's kind of weird if you don't like the show you watch every week, quite frankly. But the thing about it with WWE is, if the fans in the crowd, city to city, tend to be the same, right? It's not like this weird thing where it's like, man, Roman Reigns has a tough time in Philly, but San Antonio loves him. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not that. It's a
the answer. The answer to the question that you're getting to is the fact that a lot of the popularity with Roman Reigns comes from the people that don't attend these shows, because wrestling fans that attend these shows are still somewhere between like 18 and 35.
Yes.
Right? That's the majority of the people that we were sitting with. That's the majority of the people that are there. But the kids that watch this, the kids that all sat at home, didn't travel to this show.
Yeah.
They didn't travel to this show. They didn't want to They couldn't attend this show. Their parents wouldn't pay to attend the show because we each paid for a ticket, right? The three of us paid for a ticket. Whereas, you know, it might not be feasible for the children to get there. And I don't want to blame this on kids.
Right.
But I think that that's it. I think that Roman Reigns is far closer to the more family-friendly.
It's also just a cop-out, though. Like, you know, do you know why I liked Hulk Hogan when I was a little kid?
Yeah.
Because I was supposed to. Because he was bright colors and energy, and because that was what I was supposed to do. He was the good guy on TV.
Yeah.
And so this isn't about Roman Reigns. This is it's not about anybody. It's about decision-making. It's that it seems like, in a world, like I said in the beginning of the show, in a world where your audience is more accessible than it ever was in the 1990s,
right,
you seem to hit consistent home runs, not with programming in the sense of quality. The Attitude Era is grossly overrated as the quality of a wrestling show, no argument. But at the very least, you had, it seemed, more happy customers. And so here's the weird thing about your product. Like, if in theory, right, if I made this great bench, and it was it was beautiful, and it was never going to fall apart. It's the greatest bench, right?
Yeah.
But no one liked it.
It's going to be great.
It's the most beautiful bench, and it's the most beautiful bench. But then let's say I made benches that fell apart, were inconsistent, and ugly looking. But everybody just kept coming and buying the benches that they know were going to break. So maybe being beautiful and aesthetically pleasing is great, but maybe sometimes the goal of the show is to make people happy.
Right. Part of, I guess, you know, maybe this is, you know, more of the corporate, like, unsexy answer, but John Cena needed to be replaced, right? He's getting over there. He's getting up there in age. He's getting up there in terms of, like, wanting to do this full time. He wants to do movies. He wants to shift kind of into the same experiences that The Rock has. So we need to find a new guy. Well, we deemed that it was going to be Roman Reigns, and we were going to try our best to get this Roman Reigns over.
Yeah. I'm not even talking about Roman Reigns.
Right.
Keep going back to Roman Reigns.
Fine.
It's decision making.
Fine. Let's just take Roman Reigns out of it. We're looking to replace the top guy. We need our star player because we don't have one. We don't have a star player right now.
Yeah.
So how do we replace that guy? And we're looking to replace that guy. Well, you have to kind of make the draft pick and kind of ride it out, and I feel like that's kind of where WWE is right now while they try and figure it out. Because you look at several of the guys. Now, this is where I have to bring Roman Reigns into this, but they tried to make Seth Rollins the star player. Mm-hmm. He got hurt. They tried to make Roman Reigns.
No, that's right. Roman Reigns was always as much a plan as Seth Rollins. He got the main event of Mania.
Right.
That Rollins ran into.
Right.
I think it was more there was a try of a lot of different dudes besides Roman to see who else could be like that 1A, 1B.
And so far, you know, now I have my issues, and we're not going to talk about this right now because I could go on a whole diatribe about how Roman Reigns is unreliable as you would need for a top star. But, you know, all these guys have gotten hurt.
But he's missed as much time as anybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is I can go on a diatribe and rock it.
But my point is again, this is not the Roman Reigns show. He didn't win anything tonight.
Well, that brings up a good question what we're talking about now, back to the Rumble.
Yeah.
If you don't have Nakamura win, but you're still looking to find a new guy.
Right.
Should they have given it to someone else besides Nakamura to try to establish that new guy?
No, I think that you desperately needed to do this. Mm-hmm. You needed to look the people. And again, it's a complex issue, and I understand. But it's just like, it's tougher for me to talk to people online that although everybody feels differently about everything, and that's just the world we live in.
Yes.
It's easy to kind of scoop up, and although I'm going to get a lot of different stuff, I kind of get a feeling what the majority in the scoop wants.
Right.
It's not the hardest thing in the world to be WWE, use these hashtags and kind of figure out the consensus.
Right.
The 51%. And that tonight, you needed to look those people, even if you don't like them or think that they're all marks, like I'm talking about Triple H specifically, even if you think that those guys are eye rolls, losers, whatever, you needed to do this for us. For people, for the majority of people that attend and go online and and buy your product, they needed this easy slam dunk. They needed this itch to get scratched.
And I guess this went from a slam dunk to a NBA Jam super alley-oop slam dunk because they knew what they were doing when they had Roman Reigns be the second guy. Because if Nakamura went in there with John Cena, you know, we don't think, well, Nakamura is easily the guy that you kind of pick. You know, Finn Balor, same thing. Randy Orton, same thing. Roman Reigns, you look at him and you go,
he can
win anything at any time. So for the first time in forever, hashtag Frozen. For the first time in forever, you had a real doubt because we knew that, like I said, we knew that John Cena was going to win. We knew Batista was going to win. And while we cheered for Roman Reigns when Batista was in that Royal Rumble, we knew he wasn't going to win. When Roman Reigns was going to win, we cheered for Rusev, but we knew he wasn't going to win. Yeah. So having...
It was the same. It was like when Triple H eliminated Roman Reigns when he a couple years ago, and it was down to Triple H and Ambrose. And it's like, look, you know, there's one. The average fan was like, look, there's one guy I'd prefer more than the other, but holy crap, I'm good either way.
Right. That's so it's the same thing.
You needed Roman Reigns to be the last guy because it's the only thing that can create that tension that blows off the lid. But that comes back to my original point. I want to start talking about the women and other things because it's oddly getting to Roman Reigns all the time, and I sincerely don't want it to.
But it was designed that way.
Right,
so
but you had to do it that way. But it speaks to my bigger point, which is weird because, in theory, why'd we do Roman Reigns? So you would go crazy and be so happy. Well, that's what we do with heels.
Right.
Yes. So that's so weird.
But Roman
Reigns... That's so weird that you book your top face like a heel because you know they don't like him, but we're doing it anyway. So weird.
Well, the thing that I would say to that is he doesn't feel like that anymore. Like, since WrestleMania, he doesn't feel like he's the top face. While he feels like he feels like a sports team, right? You either like him or you hate him, and he does what he does. His character has been consistent throughout, and he's not had a great track record this year. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's also weird because now WWE is going to go from their core philosophy of Bruno Sammartino to Hulk Hogan to Stone Cold Steve Austin to John Cena to all being baby faces that we pushed and talked about as baby faces to some guy that goes, shrug your shoulders. If you like him, you like him. If you don't, you don't. But we're going to shift our entire business model over it. He's going to take on Brock Lesnar, and maybe they're both heels, folks. Who cares? That's really weird. That's not WWE-ish. That's weird.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, you have two faces going at it on the SmackDown side.
Right, so, which is weirder, but more common. Well, not weirder. It's weird, but more common that two faces have to square off because it's the honor of the fight more than two heels. Whatever.
But we don't have to get into who's the face and who's
the heel. The bigger point I'm trying to make here, and it is a positive point, is there are a lot of people that needed Nakamura to win this thing.
Right.
Finn Balor, a Nakamura, a guy like that, I kind of bummed Samoa Joe wasn't in this thing. Is he hurt again?
Yes, yeah.
Because they needed a guy like that. If Kevin Owens had won this Royal Rumble, somebody that wasn't the establishment. They know what I mean?
Yeah.
They needed something else. And that's what they got tonight, and I think it's great.
Also, can we talk about how great it was to cheer Rey Mysterio?
It really was.
That was awesome.
Right, and they did a great job, too, of... and we'll get to it with the women, but I think they did a good job with placement throughout the night.
Yeah,
and
there was a great blend of legends, returns, and who knows if Rey Mysterio is a one-off or he's now here on 205 Live.
One of the things I'm the happiest about is the crowd was great because, like, there were obviously when the Royal Rumble comes around, your own imagination runs wild, and then you read the internet and it goes wilder, right?
Yeah,
because
Daniel
Bryan wasn't in it, Triple H wasn't in it, Kurt Angle wasn't in it, The Undertaker wasn't in it. There were so many guys that were like these, whoa, huge top shelf potentials, and it didn't happen, and the crowd didn't boo people for not being Daniel Bryan.
Right.
You know what
I
mean?
That was the one thing that I was worried about. I was really, really worried that when the rumor ran rampant that this guy became the number two or tied for the top betting and odds to win this thing, I was terrified that we were going to get whoever came out at 30 to be booed because... it wasn't Daniel Bryan, and that's what I was terrified, and I didn't want to put that like juju out into the internet, but that was how I felt this entire time, because it's like, if he's not in this, the fans have built this thing up in their minds where it's just like, he wasn't on the table, and then I think some idiot was just like, that would be fun, right? And then they bet and they bet and they bet and they built and it built and it built, and that's why he was the odds on favorite.
So I'm just glad that PW Insider and like Meltzer and those guys didn't run with those betting odds, and it was just like a random occurrence that the betting odds increased for Daniel Bryan, and that was just a rumor that was flying around. Nobody was running with it. I don't think that's... I think that's why it didn't get as big as we thought it would.
Right.
Before it's time to move on to other things, but real quick, just yes or no. We know that we're getting AJ and Nakamura. Are we definitely getting Brock and Roman Reigns?
Yes.
I'm going to say no, and it's just because of the stormy cloud that's looming and rolling in of this guy, this doctor that has text messages of Roman Reigns with steroids.
Sure.
When you said stormy cloud and rolling in, I thought you meant this.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
That was going to be my...
Well, that was a great...
Well, here's
what
the
was
thing.
Your favorite? What was it? Talk about that.
Yeah, here's the thing. One, did my wish come true?
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did. My wish came true. I always want the Hurricane to be in it, and the Hurricane was in it, and I flippin' love the Hurricane.
He was awesome. It was a great pop, too, because we've seen over the last few years or so, like, there used to be, like, five or six of these kind of things, and now it's reserved to one or two, and sometimes none. And so, if they're gonna, like, reserve this fun, remember, like, every once in a while, I'll be like, Diesel and the Godfather and Vader and stuff like that. And
your roster's so talented.
Yeah.
Because you're right. We could have had the Hurricane and Sandman and Raven and Rhino
and Eugene and everybody. You know
what I mean? And a Rikishi type of guy.
But we don't get Adam Cole in this Royal Rumble.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I would rather have Adam Cole in this Rumble. You're so deep and so talented that I don't need you to bring out the Godfather.
And to their credit, when they're like, all right, but we are going to do one.
Yeah.
And they picked a great one.
Yeah.
They picked a great one. One of my favorite returns in a long, long time. That was my one of my favorites was I was at the Jesus, this is so crazy how time works. I was at the 2003 Royal Rumble and Goldust came back for the first time in a long time, and that made me real
That's
happy.
Cool.
That made me really happy too. What do you think about Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman versus Kane?
That was the piss match break for me and my section. It was one of those things where after the Royal Rumble happened, then we were saddled with the tag match, and kudos to the guys in the tag match for trying to work through that quiet crowd after all the energy was spent. But we knew it was going to be a schmozzy sprint with those three behemoths. So you had chair spots, you had table spots. You had it safe where Strowman can look strong, Kane can look somewhat like his normal self, and then Brock kind of just saving the match for all intents and purposes to save his title. You know, there were moments where we knew Brock wasn't, for the most part, Brock was going to win, but there were moments where, like, breaking up pins and then Braun kind of going on a power slam rampage and then Kane doing choke slams. So it felt like a Raw match, if that makes sense, like a Raw televised match. I felt like it was properly placed because where the hell would you have put it? But it was a good whetting of the appetite knowing that, okay, there was no way in hell that these two were going to beat Brock Lesnar. And it wasn't over-reliant on Suplex City, which was something I really liked. They saved that spot towards the end. And it reestablishes Strowman not getting, like, kind of owned in 9 minutes like the last time they wrestled. And it kind of just puts Kane to go away. And you save Strowman for whatever plans they have for him in WrestleMania.
This match, to me, seems a lot more like WWE doesn't know what direction they want to go in, right?
Right.
Because Kane's in this match to lose.
Yes.
He's 100% in this match to lose. And the way that they made Braun Strowman look was that, you know, this the way I'm going to phrase this is going to sound weird, but it's like he ends up getting screwed out of the title, then losing the title. You know, he lost this match because Kane lost this match.
Right.
He did not lose this match because Brock Lesnar was the better man.
Right.
You know, it was he did all of the work. He did all of the work, and then Brock Lesnar.
This is the frustrating part, and it's again, like, I know it comes back to Roman Reigns. And I hate that everything comes back to Roman Reigns, but like this is the part that frustrates me about the experience that we're going through is Roman Reigns. Okay, we can plug and play. We have backstory again. WrestleMania 31, the Undertaker connection.
Right.
We can do this. However, that is something that we talked about 9 months ago. Right? We've never revisited it.
Right.
And the TV, the story, the wrestling is Braun Strowman got a shot at you. He came up short. He tonight looked even better. Might have won if Kane didn't blow it. And so the wrestling tells me we're going to square off at WrestleMania because I know I can get you this time.
And that's what goes back to I don't know if WWE has made a decision yet.
I agree.
Braun Strowman standing in the ring screaming at Brock Lesnar that you couldn't beat me. You didn't beat me. You beat him. You did not beat me. Says that, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. And when I think that we're heading through a triple threat between the three of them because Roman Reigns is going to get in on this.
Right.
But it feels like WWE is really at an impasse because, you know, it goes back to the listening thing, right? They want Roman Reigns, and they've built this show around and this year around Roman Reigns, but they're listening to the audience because Braun Strowman, everybody loves Braun Strowman. There is no, I don't know anybody that's just like, I don't like Braun Strowman.
Right, and so it comes, this is the part where we're going to find out a lot because the wrestling, and you made a great point earlier, where this is an old-fashioned Royal Rumble win, where it's like Austin's first it's like, we're going to get you this Rumble win to show you it's time to work with the main eventers on the biggest stage we have. That was the boost he needed to go from, like, Intercontinental Champion guy with a lot of momentum to, now you're a main eventer. Yep. And tonight,
this is it.
You're a main eventer now, right? And that's a very unique opportunity to show the world we're high on a guy in a certain way. Braun Strowman, it would be a huge boost to be the guy to beat Brock Lesnar to win that championship, to headline WrestleMania. But what we got to start thinking is, and I say this guy's name for the last time because we're going to start talking about the women just so it can't come up. With Roman Reigns, come on. Roman Reigns doesn't have to beat Brock Lesnar. I know everything I need to know about Roman Reigns and his masculinity and his power and his winningness and his amazingness. Of all the people on this show that you need to start investing in, the guy that needs the Brock Lesnar win the least
is Roman Reigns.
That win should go, quite frankly, I think, to Seth Rollins.
Oh, it should go to Finn Balor.
Or Seth Rollins, so he can get the hell back on track. But if you're not going to give it to Balor or Rollins, it doesn't need to go to Roman. I know. I get it. I get how you can book this guy however you want for the next 10 years because you have established it. Braun Strowman needs it.
It's just tough because, you know, the first hurdle that I kept fighting, if you've been listening to this show for a long time, was long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
Everybody wants long-term storytelling. Well, they decided to tell a long-term story. They just decided to tell long-term stories with the characters we didn't like is what it was because, you know, I don't know if they told the Roman Reigns half of this story the best because Brock Lesnar's been this unstoppable monster, and the formula is Taz and Sabu. You have Brock Lesnar destroying people on one side, you have Roman Reigns destroying people on the other, and then eventually they have to meet, and it just so happens to be a WrestleMania on the biggest stage of them all. You know, it's funny how things work like that. They just haven't done that with Roman Reigns because he's been so up and down, both with injury, with injury and suspensions and whatever he's got going on. So I think that the best thing that WWE could do right now when we're talking about listening to the fans is, you know, I think Braun Strowman showed up tonight. I thought that Braun Strowman did a great job. Yeah. He looked great, and I think we need to keep that train rolling. I'm really glad that they didn't stick him in the Men's Royal Rumble because, frankly, he needs to be in it, and he needs to win. We can't have him look like the Big Show.
No, if he was in it, he had to win. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. The only way Braun Strowman was going to be in the Royal Rumble is if he was going to win it. That's it. That's why Ronda Rousey wasn't in it because they did a great job tonight of giving Asuka the win that she earned.
Yes.
And Ronda Rousey the moment that we all need to let you know to make the headlines, to do the clicks, to get where you need to go. And that is one of the biggest stories in wrestling right now. It just happened, but it's huge, and we're probably going to talk about it for the foreseeable future. Rowdy Ronda Rousey is now part of WWE. All the rumors swirling around have now been confirmed and validated. She has arrived. She is here. She has pointed at the WrestleMania sign. Which means I'm guessing that...
You know what that means.
Yeah, it means that Asuka picks a champion and I'll take the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And I think that Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte will be something that legitimately draws eyes.
Right.
I think sometimes it's tough to know what exactly is drawing from the men and the women. But that's a needle mover is Ronda Rousey on the show.
I said it on the car ride home to Bill. She moves the needle in the exact same way that Brock Lesnar does.
Yep.
Right? She is literally the same thing. She's just a woman. You are big. You are strong. You are scary. And you were at one point the baddest person on the planet.
Yep. Yes.
So you're literally the same thing. So I think that it's going to capture that same audience. Yep. And she's a full-time performer. And I'm excited
about
that.
That's the difference.
Yep. And I'm excited about that.
Well, the thing about Brock Lesnar... She's going to be compared in ways to Brock Lesnar now. The person that I would compare her to is
Ken Shamrock.
Exactly.
Yes.
What they wanted Shamrock to be is to come in here, and I think the plan at some point was for him to be a WWF champion. He won a King of the Ring. You know what I mean? He was in the corporation. He had an Intercontinental Championship. Yeah. They gave him a gimmick match. Yes. The Lion's Den. They made a structure so he could have a gimmick match. And that's who she is. It's like, come here, kick ass. But it's this beautiful thing of best of both worlds where it's Ken Shamrock's cred in UFC with Brock Lesnar's 2012 return fame and notoriety.
Right. Yes.
You know, she's both.
Yeah,
she's the perfect hybrid.
Because the issue with Ken Shamrock was UFC wasn't the mainstream thing that it is.
It is now.
Exactly. It's not Conor McGregor.
Yeah, it's like because the person that would have been the equivalent is if Tyson, after he lost, just came to the WWF.
Right.
And it was just like, now I'm just here.
Right.
And it's like, holy shit.
Right, you're in a lot of trouble. And the The interesting thing for me now is, first of all, I love the fact that they're keeping away from Asuka. So much so that the moment they can't interact.
Right.
You have a thing over here while I have a thing over there.
Yeah.
I love that because my only trepidation, the only one, I'm now all in and excited about Ronda Rousey because my only trepidation about the signing always was, I don't want this girl to come in here and beat Asuka. Frankly, that was it. Somebody's going to have to beat Asuka eventually, and it shouldn't be Ronda Rousey in her debut. Maybe Ronda Rousey
eventually, yes.
At next year's WrestleMania.
Sure, fine. But she shouldn't come here and in her debut
beat her.
And that was my only problem. And now that I know that they can't even interact for a while past Mania season, it's great.
In theory, Asuka's going to pick a champion, and she's going to be on that show. And Ronda Rousey's going to pick the other champion and be on that show.
And SmackDown needs Ronda Rousey.
She's going to pick
Charlotte.
Yes. That's the better match,
right,
because we don't need Asuka versus Charlotte right now, because that saves that, which is very sexy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you save that match, plus having Charlotte go against Ronda is going to be a mainstream needle mover for WrestleMania.
Headlines. Ronda Rousey joins WWE, takes on Ric Flair's daughter.
Right.
There's your headline.
There you go.
Right, your headline. And quite frankly, no disrespect to anybody, if she took on Alexa Bliss and the match lasted more than 15 seconds, no one would believe it.
Right.
Because an average Ronda Rousey match at one point, a fight, was 14 seconds.
Yeah.
And sorry, Alexa Bliss. You're not going to be on the
ladder. No matter how double-jointed you are, you're not going to survive that.
You're toast. You know what I mean?
You're a tiny girl.
At least the way we've presented Charlotte, and she's 6'2", and all that stuff is, I think Rousey's going to wind up beating her, but I think she's going to get a fight.
Right.
That's what I think. Damien, what did you think when Ronda Rousey showed up? When number 30 was Trish Stratus,
right,
and so that kind of, in a lot of fans' minds, closed the door on Ronda Rousey, and then it was slammed back open when she showed up anyway. What'd you think?
I did not initially like the thought of her making that grand appearance after the Rumble because I felt it did take away a little bit from Asuka's moment. But when you do it, I know, Chip, I know you hate Asuka. I know.
He's dumb.
Yeah. But when you look at it from a viewership standpoint, you're talking about moving the needle. ESPN picked it up right within 10 seconds of them going off the air.
Yep.
Ronda Rousey signs with WWE. I get that. But the brief interaction that Asuka and Ronda had with the whole slapping of the hand away, I thought that for me was the clincher saying, okay, I'm fine with it now. Because it doesn't allow Asuka to look like, for all lack of a better word, a punk in front of Ronda Rousey. So like you were saying, it saves that potential matchup down the road where you could potentially have Asuka versus Ronda Rousey where she could potentially be the one to end her undefeated streak.
WWE... there was a time in WWE, and not that long ago, maybe in the last 5 years, when Ronda Rousey would have showed up, she would have gotten the ring, and then Charlotte, Asuka, and Bliss would have left the ring and backed out and been
we're not messing with you.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And instead, they're like, you are our champions. We have built Asuka this well. Yep, Rousey's here, and she is to be made to look like your peer.
Yes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It wasn't a scary moment.
No. Nope.
It was this is going to be good.
Right, exactly.
You know? And
that alone is perfect because we did – WWE deserves all the credit in the world that tonight – again, I'll say it again and again – Asuka got the win, and Rousey got the moment, and they're both fine. And I understand, and I know a lot of wrestling fans have a tough time because, would I prefer the purity of the thing and all that stuff, too? You know me. I'm a total nerd about, like, what this business is and what it should be and how to keep to the fundamentals. They worked for 100 years. I don't know why we want to change them. And with WWE, though, they did a great job tonight of building the star that they have and continuing that and make Asuka get her credit, get her due. She earned that win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I understand that WWE is a business that's looking for clicks, that's looking for mainstream notoriety. The reason we're able to go to a building with a roller coaster on the stage is because they do things that get clicks and attention.
Yes.
And I understand why Rousey has to go on last. I get why she felt like a bigger deal at the end of the night than Asuka. But we're not, forever and ever, Asuka's the first Women's Royal Rumble winner.
Right.
Forever.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, you look at this and WWE, this show felt very different, right? I don't know.
Very Japanese.
It felt very Japanese. No, this show felt very different and in a good way where it felt like they finally started using the internet to their advantage, right?
everybody knows that Roman Reigns has the potential to win this Royal Rumble. So we're going to put him in and the final two people to trick the fan base that is a bunch of smarky assholes into thinking, well, oh, you know, this guy's going to win. And then Nakamura goes over to get an even bigger pop. And then, you know, oh, like Lita's not going to be in it. She's mad and she's not going to be in it. Boo, boo, boo. Oh, she's in it. And that surprise hits even bigger. And then 30, it's Trish Stratus. Oh, my God, I'm super excited that Trish Stratus is here. But, oh, that means that Ronda's not here. And I guess she was right when she said, oh, I'm not in this thing. I'm not. Which, technically, she was right. She wasn't in the Women's Royal Rumble. So Asuka wins, and you're happy for Asuka because everybody likes Asuka. And then Rousey shows up. So you're like, oh, you like you said, you close the door on, oh, I guess Rousey's not going to be here. And then when it's over, Rousey kicks in the door. Yeah. And that moment hits even bigger. So I think... I'm hoping that this starts a trend that WWE is going to take the internet and use it for their advantage. And that's how this show felt tonight.
It's never been easier to understand where even if the largest number I have is 51%, it's never been easier to find out what those 51% are looking for. And for the life of me, this is just a selfish thing. For the life of me, I'm a WWE fan. We go to events all the time now. We're trying to go to all the big ones, basically, right? We have been.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of going home with everybody booing and bitching and complaining.
Agreed.
And calling and being mad about what they had to see and what they watched. And I'm not even telling them they're wrong. Sometimes I think they are. Sometimes I'm just as mad as them, if I'm being honest with you. But at the end of the day, I don't want to pay money and travel and get my hopes up. And even if I had a good time, just walk through a sea of 30,000 miserable people,
yeah,
and then the internet's full of millions of them. Tonight, I'm just so grateful to go to a big event, and everybody's happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if Roman Reigns had won the Royal Rumble tonight, that wouldn't have ruined this show for me.
No.
Right? But it would have ruined this show for so many people that that many people having their show ruined would have dampened the whole...
It would have put a big stormy rain cloud
exactly.
over it.
Exactly. Roman Reigns beating Triple H to close WrestleMania 32. I thought WrestleMania 32 was bad in general, but it didn't ruin the show for me. But then having to leave with 100,000 people bitching, I don't want to do that again. I'm sick of doing that.
Right.
And so tonight to walk out with a bunch of people buzzing and happy, that was great.
And even Taker at last year's WrestleMania, it was just a bummer. I'm tired of the WrestleManias being bummers.
Right, exactly. Like, that was the thing, too. And the average fan in the building, and again, there are tons of Roman Reigns fans. I get it. I don't hate Roman Reigns. I sincerely don't. But the roller coaster you took the average fan on was Roman Reigns is going to win. You don't like that. He's going to beat The Undertaker. You hate that. Mm-hmm. And then, get ready, it gets a whole lot worse. He's retiring.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, for at least that moment in time, it was over. Yeah. And it's just like, ooh.
It was just a bummer. That's the thing. We've been to four WrestleManias, going to five, right? No, been to three, going to four.
One, two, three, we're going to four.
Yeah, going to four. And only the first one ended in such a fun way.
Yeah, with Rollins.
With Rollins.
Right, and we can't do that again. We don't do that with briefcases anymore. I thought that Ronda Rousey, so let's talk real quick before we sign off and let everybody go to bed and all that good stuff. If you're listening live, you're a trooper. If you're not, then it doesn't matter to you.
Because we got a long drive ahead of us.
What's Ronda Rousey's future in WWE? She's here. There's obviously these speculations, things you think about now that Ronda Rousey's here. What do we do with her?
You know what? I think you got to let her be her. I mean, you've booked Brock Lesnar the same way, and I don't want to say just do Brock Lesnar, but just do Brock Lesnar. You know, you've had, like, I said it earlier, and I'll go back to it. Taz and Sabu, right? Where you're going to stick Asuka and Ronda on two different shows. So have them just kick the crap out of these women. So that when we finally get to... Because Ronda now can win next year's Royal Rumble. And now Asuka's still undefeated. Ronda Rousey's undefeated. And now she's like, yeah, girl, I want you. I want you. Right. And so now next year's WrestleMania is Asuka versus Ronda Rousey. And they're both undefeated. You know, Asuka has a million victories. And Ronda is a year undefeated. And on the main roster...
Do you think she beat Charlotte?
I think she does.
Yeah.
I think she does. You know, and that's just because we build the moments, right? Charlotte's already lost, and Charlotte's fine. She's going to do great. You know, we don't have to. We don't have to have it. You know, we can do.
There's no shame in losing to Ronda Rousey,
right?
Like a like men would lose to Ronda Rousey. You know what I mean, there's no shame in losing to Ronda Rousey.
So that's what I would do. That's if I was in charge, I would keep them on separate shows, and I would have them both be undefeated into next year's WrestleMania, and then have them fight each other.
What are your expectations for Ronda Rousey? Like, what do you hope the packaging and presentation is to you? Like, obviously, you know, that we've seen what Shayna Baszler is doing in NXT. Is it similar to that? Is it her own thing? Is it?
I think it's her own thing, because if they used Shayna's thing as a small benchmark for NXT, it did fall a little flat for a lot of people. So for them to use that carbon copy on Ronda, I think it works better for Ronda because she's Ronda. You try well, the, she also like you has, said, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, she has more personality than Shayna Baszler.
That's not saying much, though.
Yeah.
A coffee table has more personality than Shayna Baszler. But if you're going to long-term book her, you're absolutely right. Keep those two. Keep Asuka. Keep Ron away from each other. Have them just beat the living daylights out of people. Alicia Fox first, then Dana Brooke second, then go through the whole Riot Squad. If you're going to keep her on SmackDown, just have her go through the whole women's roster. And then, all right, who's next? To borrow a line from Goldberg.
Yay!
What do you do with her? You give her the top star from either brand at that point.
Yep.
The merch sells itself. The match sells itself. People tune in from ESPN and all walks of life to watch the product. And by watching that product, you can see other wrestlers, the draw in. So I think that's how you book her. You're not reinventing the wheel. Just keep it simple.
There's two takeaways I have from tonight's Royal Rumble. One, the big part that we talked about was tonight. I think even WWE themselves knew it was just, you know, first of all, let me say this. Shinsuke Nakamura is not some, like, we were on the fence wishy-washy guy. I guess we'll throw you the bone.
Yeah,
the way they legitimately did feel about Daniel Bryan, by the way.
Yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura is a hugely recognized, respected talent. Triple H loves him. Everybody loves him. This was not like, oh, why are you guys so into Daniel Bryan? We don't want to do this. It's not that. They're high on Shinsuke Nakamura. But at the same time, it is the great scratching of the itch. Mm-hmm. This was the great, like, look, we get it. We got to give you some. There are these fans over here that seem to not make a lot of noise, but are big fans, and we keep making them happy. And then there are fans over here that do make a lot of noise, and they seem to be unhappy, and we got to try to shift that tide.
Right.
And it also validates my point that I believe about Vince McMahon to my heart and soul, which is, I will tell you what wrestling you're allowed to talk about. What's everybody talking about? New Japan? Mm-hmm. Two Japanese stars won
tonight. The Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you which Japanese stars you will care about. You're going to talk about a big dream match in the year 2018. You're not going to talk about Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. I forbid it. You will talk about AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I will tell you what are dream matches. I will tell you which Japanese stars to care about. I will tell you what the biggest show in pro wrestling is. That is how I became Vince McMahon. And tonight that validated 100%. Two Japanese stars in a company where the most successful Japanese star before them was Yokozuna, who was not Japanese, right? Or Takamichi Nuku, who Jerry the King Lawler once in the 2000 Royal Rumble once asked for 5 different instant replays of him breaking his face bones, right? Because he landed, he smacked his face on the ground, broke bones in his face, and Jerry Lawler requested 5 instant replays during the Rumble of the guy breaking his face bones so he could laugh, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now they won the Royal Rumble. Because I'll tell you who's good in Japan. I'll tell you what's a big deal. I'll tell you what dream matches are. And you know what, though, man? If it has to be, I think that Vince McMahon, after talking to Justin Roberts, after talking to Jim Ross, after talking to guys that, you know, like Jimmy Corderas, guys that work for the company now that have, it's literally not speculation anymore that sometimes Vince McMahon does things he knows you won't like out of spite. Yeah. He's sick and tired of you telling him he's out of touch. So if you're going to say it, he's going to do it, and just to piss you off, right?
Right.
Tonight, if the motivation was, you don't think I'll book Shinsuke Nakamura, I'll do it. Don't do that. Like, fine. Is that the approach I had to have the whole time? Did I have to call you a wuss? You know what I mean? To finally get, like, Rusev to go from a comedy act to, like, a real big deal? Is that what I have to do? You won't push Rusev, Vince. You don't got the balls. You know what I mean? Is that what this is?
I'll give him his own day.
Is that what this is? You know what I mean? Because, fine, if this, and again, I'll never use the word competition. No one's taken down Coca-Cola. But if the idea that New Japan is coming into North America, making these waves,
a viable alternative,
getting hugely positive reviews for Wrestle Kingdom, right? Well, maybe it's not competition, but maybe it's a fire starter.
Yes.
Maybe it's a measuring stick. If you're the best at something for a long time, sometimes there comes complacency. And somebody comes along and goes, hey, not only am I good too, I'm better than you.
Right.
And then that drives you inside to go, the hell you are. Right. You know what I mean? And you kind of pick into gear. I think this Royal Rumble weekend was WWE going, we are still the best when we want to be.
Yes.
And always will be. When we want to be, we will always be the best. Tonight was a great pay-per-view, a great experience. We walked away in a crowd full of happy people.
Yes.
And look, there are some people out there that aren't happy Shinsuke Nakamura won. Chip and his Care Bears are are unhappy that Asuka won, right? You don't please them all. Just like I said in the beginning of the show, you don't please them all.
No.
But tonight it seems like the people that make all the noise, it seems like you did please them all.
Right.
And we needed that. We all needed it.
Now,
we all needed it to feel good.
Now, we could talk about this on Wednesday's show because I thought about this. Vince McMahon got to a podium and said that he's going to be starting the XFL again.
Yeah.
Orlando Rage.
Do you think that this means that that Vince McMahon is going to take a little bit of the reins off for the next 2 years while he focuses on starting that?
I don't know how he couldn't.
Did you watch the press conference?
No, not the whole
thing. He said he was not backing off anything from WWE.
But I don't know how he could.
Right, because
it's solely a financial thing.
Okay. Yeah. So he just put up the money?
He said he's going to hire football people, football experts to run the league. He's focusing. He's still the chairman and CEO of WWE.
But I bet you he's also the buck stopper of the XFL, too.
Right. Well, because that was the thing. It was just like, this show felt more new agey to me.
Fun.
Triple H's show.
Yeah, it felt like
our show.
Yeah, it felt like Triple H's show. Yeah. And that was the first thing I thought of. Is Vince going to kind of take back and let Hunter take over a little bit more on the main roster now?
It has to happen eventually. Because the other thing that Vince McMahon, in all his ego, even has to understand is he's in his 70s. He's taken steroids for 40 years. He's been in a high-pressure, high-stress job for 40 years. Yeah. He's been under physical stress for some of those years. And it's horrible to say and knock on all the wood in the world. But, I mean, if Vince McMahon dropped dead tomorrow, would that shock you?
No.
It would sadden you, surprise you, you know, be really bummed about it. But would that, like, put you on the ground and you couldn't believe it?
Yeah, no.
No. So if you're Vince McMahon, even you have to know that. And it's time to start giving the people that will replace me one day.
Yeah.
It's time to start letting them have some say.
Just because I go back to, and this is going to be the final point that I make, because Bill's telling me to wrap it up. The fact that they use the internet to their advantage this week to book this show felt not like a Vince idea.
I get why we can't just go on Twitter and go, all right, this week everybody's super high on Sasha Banks. Looks like we got to push Sasha to the moon. And then you go back on Twitter next week and go, oh, son of a bitch. Those fans actually find Sasha Banks overrated. I guess it's Mickie James' turn because she earned it and she's a veteran. All right, so it's Mickie James' turn to do that. All right, and then now Mickie James is old.
Oh, Nia Jax now.
Oh, right, exactly. So we can't do that. We can't.
Right.
But again, like I said before, it's not that hard to go on there and kind of get. You know how to make a popular choice. You do.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
But it wasn't even necessarily the popular choices. It goes back to taking the unpopular choices, recognizing what those are, and then executing them in a way to make the popular choices feel earned.
Exactly. And it's not forced. Tonight was not some weird thing where it's like, and I'm not even joking around because of the betting odds. Tonight wasn't some weird thing where it's like, all right, so you hate Roman Reigns? Fine. We'll give you like Ziggler because you won't like it, but it's different. And you know what I mean? They didn't do that. They gave you a guy that how could that not? And Philadelphia is a great crowd and a good wrestling town. So they were going to treat Nakamura's win the right way.
Right.
And they did. And I'm really, really proud of the building, not of Philly per se, but of the building.
Yeah, I don't like Philly.
Good job not booing Trish Stratus because she's not Ronda Rousey.
Right.
Good job not booing
Ziggler because he wasn't Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. Or just booing anyone because they weren't The Undertaker. And just being stupid, because that's what it is. If you want to have a good time at these shows, don't look now. You might. You know what I mean? But you got to kind of want to.
Right.
We hope you had a good time listening to this show. Thank you so much for joining us. If you click some hashtags and checked us out for the first time, welcome. We are live next time Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday at 8 p.m. like we are every Wednesday. You can become a Patreon by going to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. There are 5 exclusive shows a month, including one that you control. You have to follow, subscribe, download, comment, rate, thumbs up. to the New Age Insiders Wrestling
also,
Network.
Also, this worked out so well. Usually, we say that we're not live after pay-per-views that we attend.
But we made it happen.
And I think that this is going to be the new standard. We're just going to be live after all of them.
We're going to try, man. This was the...
Started a little late, but I think it all worked out in the end.
Thank goodness for the convenience of the Philadelphia Stadium area.
Oh, my God.
Because if this was in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium, we'd still be in the parking lot.
That's so true. But we probably would have just done the show from the parking lot.
That's fair.
Damien is on that New Age Insiders Wrestling Network. Damien, where can people find you online? What are you up to?
You can find the show at Glasscast NEI, myself, Chip K. Fave, Matt McCool. Find me on Twitter at Dare to be Damien. I am all over the place. I work for WBAI in New York. I work for you guys. I've worked with a lot of different people, so you can find me all over the place.
Awesome. Damien, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for what you do. It was great to have you on, and we really do. Anytime that we get a chance to meet up with you and see you in person, it's a chance we take. Because we really do appreciate it, man. You're the best.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you so much for listening, for checking it out. We'll catch you on Wednesday. There's all sorts of backlog shows on iTunes and Podomatic and on Patreon and all sorts of good stuff that you can find. Subscribe and follow to New Age Pop on all those platforms as well. My name has been... Is there anything else?
Nope.
No, we got a long drive, so...
My name's Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI. The website, newageinsiders.com. Where you can find everything we're up to, including those two networks that we are so proud of, because altogether we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.